Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Since the dawn of time, for as long as human beings have been human beings, we've been telling stories, because we know that being able to tell a story is such a powerful thing. We love stories. We like to hear stories. We like to tell stories. They communicate really, 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 really important messages, ideas, wisdom. It's how we transfer wisdom from one generation to the next. You talk about the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. These are just collections of amazing stories, of beautiful stories. The Epic of Gilgamesh, Homer's Odyssey, all of these things are stories that have been passed down through this oral tradition of sitting around a campfire or reading your kids a bedtime story, trying to instill wisdom and knowledge in a way that is not me preaching at you or finger waving. It's not me hitting you over the head with these stone tablets. It's telling the story of how things were, how things ought to be, in hopes that we can carry wisdom forward. Because if we do not carry wisdom forward, then we forget. And why does history repeat, or at very least rhyme? It's because we've forgotten. Why do cultures rise and fall? Standards rise and fall. Good times create da-da-da-da-da. Hard times create da-da-da. We all know that saying these days. And here we are. A person is born. They do their work in the world. They pass away. And we can look backwards and we could say, what was the impact that this person had? Regardless of what their intentions were, what was the impact and where are we at now because of that? And what's the way forward? So I wanted to tell you a story because somebody just passed away, a very, very, very famous person, as every famous person will eventually pass away. But this person has had such a profound impact on our way of life and our national discourse and the way that families organize. And when that starts changing, there's going to be long-term rippling effects, the butterfly effect. One small thing happens today, but you don't really know what the impact is going to be over the future. So I want to tell you a story that's called The Town That Ate Its Seed Corn. So once it happened that there was a prosperous little farming town. There was good soil, good people, really hard workers. And as far as anyone could remember, the farmers of this town practiced a peculiar tradition. Every year after the harvest, they took some of their very best corn and put it away. Not the rotten corn, not the leftovers, not the stuff that nobody wanted, their best corn. They carried it into barns, carefully stored it, protected it from moisture and from mice, and they did absolutely nothing with it. They didn't eat it. They didn't sell it. They didn't grind it into meal. They just left perfectly good corn sitting in a barn. Why? Because it was seed corn. Their fathers had done it. Their grandmothers had done it. Their great-grandmothers and great-grandmothers had done it. And like many traditions passed down through generations, eventually people remembered the rule, but they forgot the reason. Then one year, a clever young fellow came to town. He was educated, well-spoken, very progressive in his thinking. And most importantly, he'd never planted corn. He took one look inside the barns and he was astonished. Do people realize how much perfectly good food is sitting in here? The farmers explained, that's our seed corn. Yes, he said, I understand what you call it. I'm asking why hungry people aren't allowed to eat it. Well, that's a harder question. after all, there were people in town who could use more corn. There were families struggling to make ends meet, and there was all this corn just sitting there. Young fellow began writing about it in the newspaper. Why should the living sacrifice for some hypothetical future harvest? That got people's attention. He gave speeches. He pointed out that nobody could prove exactly how much corn would grow from any particular kernel. Some wouldn't germinate. Some plants would die. There could be drought. There could be floods. There could be insects. Therefore, he argued, it was intellectually dishonest to treat every kernel of seed corn as though it represented future corn. You couldn't count corn that didn't exist. That sounded very sophisticated. Soon, other educated people, well, they agreed. And eventually, the town decided that perhaps the old farmers had been a little superstitious. So, they ate some of the seed corn. And you know what happened? Nothing. Well, that's an important part of this story. Nothing bad happened. In fact, something wonderful happened. People ate better. Families had more food. Restaurants served larger portions. The town held a festival. The young reformer was celebrated. People wondered why they hadn't done this years ago. The following year, they ate a little more. And again, nothing terrible happened. There was still plenty of corn, so they ate a little more. And then a little more. Eventually, eating the seed corn wasn't controversial at all. It became normal. A generation passed, then another, and almost nobody remembered why their peculiar ancestors had been so obsessed with keeping perfectly edible corn locked inside barns. But eventually, strange things began happening. The harvests weren't quite as large. There weren't as many farmers. Some farms disappeared altogether. The school had fewer children. The blacksmith couldn't find an apprentice. Businesses complained they couldn't find enough workers. There weren't as many young people supporting the old people. Taxes went up. The town began importing corn. Then it began importing workers. Then it borrowed money to support the people who were no longer working. And soon everyone agreed the town had a serious corn problem. Fortunately, they had experts. A commission was assembled. Economists were summoned. Politicians held hearings. The newspaper ran a 12-part series, The Corn Crisis. How did we get here?
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Hailey Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
One expert, they blamed the weather. Another blamed capitalism. Another blamed insufficient government investment in corn. One politician proposed tax credits for growing corn. Another proposed subsidizing corn purchases. Someone suggested increasing immigration from towns that still had corn. Someone else proposed raising the retirement age of farmers. Another expert explained that changing dietary preferences had created unprecedented structural challenges with the corn economy. Whew! Everyone agreed the situation was extraordinarily complicated. Outside the general store sat an old farmer. He listened to all of this for several days. Finally, he said, "Seems to me we used to have plenty of corn." Everyone laughed. Old people, always oversimplifying things. But one young economist became curious, so he went into the town archives. He found the old harvest records, and he discovered something strange. For generations, the town had consistently reserved part of every harvest for planting. Then the amount started declining, slowly at first, then dramatically. And the economist realized something even more important. The town hadn't merely lost the corn it ate. It lost all the corn that corn would have grown. A kernel wasn't merely a kernel. It was a stalk, and the stalk contained ears. And those ears contained hundreds more kernels, some of which would become next year's seed, which would become another harvest, which would become another, which would become another. The economist presented his findings to the commission. One of the distinguished professors objected, "You cannot count corn that never existed." The old farmer happened to be sitting in the back of the room. He nodded, "Certainly." Then he said, "And apparently you cannot eat it either." There's a strange thing about compounding. We're very good at understanding it when we're talking about money. Put a dollar away today, allow it to grow, then allow the growth to grow, and give it enough time, and something increasingly insignificant becomes enormous. We call that compound interest. We marvel at it. We make charts about it. We tell young people, start early, because time matters. But compounding doesn't only work with money. It works with trees, businesses, ideas, institutions, traditions, knowledge, families, communities, civilizations, and destruction. That compounds too. Remove something today, and you don't merely lose the thing. You may also lose what the thing would have eventually produced. That's harder to see, because the future leaves no receipts. We can count what exists. We're much worse at counting what never arrived. There is no empty chair with a name on it. No business with a closed sign. No invention sitting unfinished on a workbench. No missing taxpayer. No missing teacher. No missing carpenter. No missing mother. No missing father. No missing child. Nothing appears to be missing. It simply just isn't there. And that's what makes consuming seed corn so easy. The benefit is immediate. The cost, that arrives later. The person receiving the benefit exists today. The person paying the cost may not exist for decades. And perhaps that's one of the great temptations of civilization. We preference the present because the present can complain. The future cannot. The future doesn't vote. It doesn't contribute to campaigns. It doesn't attend town halls. It doesn't write angry letters to the newspaper. It doesn't demand representation. It doesn't even know what we're doing to it. So every generation inherits two things from the generation before it: what they built and what they consumed. We're very good at counting the first. We're not nearly as good at counting the second, particularly when what was consumed would have eventually produced something else. That's the trouble with seed corn. It looks exactly like dinner, and dinner has the considerable advantage of being hungry now. The harvest has no constituency. It can't vote. It can't complain. It can't write a letter to the editor. It can only fail to arrive. And 50 years later, very serious people will gather in a very expensive room to determine where the hell all the corn went. You could probably map this story onto just about every arena of society. I'm thinking about it in the context of one very, 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 very specific part of our society and our culture. And hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down. Hopefully it resonates. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I guess, as always, I'm imploring myself and everybody else to take a very, very, very thoughtful and measured and long-term view of the decisions that we make as individuals and the decisions that we're making as a society collectively. And we need to be able to see past the bridge of our own nose and to realize that each one of those decisions will in fact lead to different long-term results, for the better or for the worse. Very few things are static. Very few things are neutral. Most every decision that we make is going to have a negative or a positive impact on our future and on future generations and future people. So what I'm really talking about, as always, is doing your part by doing your best.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with: thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hi, this is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. I talk about my kids a lot. My first kid was truly my little doggy Lois. She was our first child. She did every single thing with us. That baby girl has been on so many planes in different states. And today, while her life is a little bit more stable and at home, we try to treat her like she's a queen still. She may not fly first class, but she does get first class treats and delivery through PetSmart. So if you're a mom of any kind, don't forget, PetSmart is a beautiful place to get everything you need, and you can get it in so many different ways. It's making life easier. So PetSmart, thank you for being a bright spot in my life and in Lois's life. Shop in-store or online at PetSmart.com. PetSmart, anything for pets.